One of my favorite Christmas gifts this past Christmas season was cold hard cash. You know what? You never get old to that gift. I know I appreciated a little extra cash. And do you know why it's such a favorite of ours? Because money's so important. Money is really important. We accomplish so much with money. We purchase the goods that we need with money. We pay off our debts. We save for our future. We secure a little recreation and enjoyment. We all do all of that with some money. God obviously knows money is important. That's why the Bible is filled with verses, filled with passages, and even chapters all about money. And the book of Proverbs is no different. In fact, there are 101 verses in the book of Proverbs that deal with or refer to money, possessions, or the lack thereof in some way, shape, or form. And all of the important subjects about money are tended to in Proverbs. It gives us direction on savings, on debt, giving, greed, investments, spending, and more. And we can't, of course, cover all of those topics this morning. And so what I thought I'd do is I thought I'd catalog our discussion this morning in two main categories. And those categories are how to get money and what to do with it when you get it. What does Proverbs say about how to get money and then what we should do with it when we do get some? And so let's just dive right in this morning. One of the things I love about Proverbs and the Scriptures is that it's so helpful and it starts at the very beginning. How do you even get money? There are more ways than one, right? Just this past week, I noticed that the Mega Millions lottery jackpot reached $480 million. That's a way to get money. Not a terribly reliable way to get money. Your chances are 303 million to one. I had to look it up. But that's a way. So while there's all kinds of ways to get money, what's God's way of getting money? What does the Proverbs teach about how we should get money? God has a pathway, and I want to show you a few verses from Proverbs about that. The first one is Proverbs 28. Remember, if you can flip fast in Proverbs, or just write a note about the passages and then refer to them later. Proverbs 28, verse 19 says this: "Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty." So did you get that? Do you want to have plenty? Work for it. That's how you get money. You don't steal it. You don't wait for it to fall from the sky. You don't follow, as this proverb says, worthless pursuits. Now, what are those worthless pursuits? Well, we might define those a number of ways, but notice how it's not working hard for it, right? It's set in contrast to working for it. So mark it down, friends, especially you young people out there. If you are in middle school or elementary school, high school, maybe even a young adult, mark it down. God's plan, God's design for you to acquire the money you need is to work for it. Proverbs 14, 23 says, "In all toil," toil meaning work, "in all work, there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty." You know, the Bible doesn't prescribe what kind of work we do, but it says there's all kinds of money to be made in the all kinds of areas that we can work in. Now, this obviously is a very important lesson for followers of Jesus. It's applied to everyone, but followers of Jesus in particular. I mean, we're the ones who believe the book, right? And this is where we're getting it. We're getting this from the book. And friends, we are tempted. We're tempted by our own sinful flesh. We're tempted by the messages in our world around us to seek what the Proverbs calls hasty gain. We'll talk about hasty gain in a minute. But we're tempted to pursue that. Friends, working for money is growing in disfavor all around us. Some have given up on working for money. Others will do it, but they do it with a bad attitude and maybe even a little resentment. But Proverbs, friends, tells us this is God's preferred method of getting money. You work for it. And so, friends, we make Jesus look really good when we work heartily at our jobs for an honest paycheck and then live contently and happily in what God has supplied. And so I want to encourage you, my good brothers and sisters here, don't miss the opportunity to be an example to others in your work. You know, I've said this before. It's been a while, so I'm going to say it again. Followers of Jesus should be the hardest working bunch around. We should be. We should work happily, with good attitudes, with great appreciation for those who pay our paycheck. And young people, do not despise hard work. It is God's plan for you to earn money. And it is, without question, the most tried and true way of getting the money you need. And friends, God is telling us this. And remember, God loves you. What God says is good. And so what he's telling us about getting money, working for it, it's good and loving for God to tell us these things. Now, there are times when people can't earn what they might need. Hardships find us. We talked about that even just last week. And that sometimes those hardships make it very, very difficult to make the money that we need. And it's in moments like that, the scriptures are also clear. In those times, God's people are to rise up and to help those in need, especially those of the household of faith. Okay. There's this really interesting balance we see in the scriptures where two things are promoted or encouraged simultaneously. So on the one hand, for example, the scriptures make it, I think, really clear that people, followers of Jesus in particular, should do everything they conceivably can do to use their hands, their feet, their brain, to work, to make a living, so that they are dependent on no one. If you want to know where that comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Go look that up sometime after the sermon. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Yet at the same time, the scriptures say that the church of Jesus Christ is to be ready to help those brothers and sisters who can't provide for themselves. And could I ask this, First Baptist? Could we provide that need with protecting some dignity in those who need the help? Do you know what I mean when I say that? Like, it's humbling enough not to be able to provide for your own needs. Like, let's not add to the humility by making it difficult or shameful, more shameful to get the help that's needed in times of hardship, right? And then again, of course, we provide the help, hopefully for a short period of time, so someone can get their feet underneath them, so they can get back to work, and then not need the help anymore, right? That's the goal. Now, when it comes to getting money, I love how the Bible is so countercultural. Proverbs tells us to do two things with money that don't seem to make sense. All right? So I'm going to share with you two countercultural messages that don't seem to make sense in how you acquire money. Here's the first thing. Proverbs tells us that it's better to get money slowly than quickly. Did you know that? Do you know the Proverbs tells us it's better to get money slowly than quickly. You wouldn't think that's the case. You think that since money is so important and it's so critical in our life, like we would want to get it as fast as we possibly can. Proverbs says the exact opposite. Let me share with you two passages. Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gained hastily, quickly, will dwindle. But whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Proverbs 20, verse 21, an inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end. I find it so interesting that Proverbs discourages and warns against money gained quickly. But you know what? If you've lived long enough, and maybe some of you would say, yeah, I've probably lived long enough, you know. If you lived long enough, you probably know that if you got money quickly, chances are it didn't come through hard work, right? See, money you earn through hard work usually increases little by little, just like Proverbs 13:11 says. And what do you do with money that you sweat for? What do you do with money that you bleed for? Oh, you're pretty careful with that money, aren't you? Like, you're pretty careful with it. You're careful how you spend it. You're careful how you use it. The stuff that you buy with money that you earn little by little, you're careful with that stuff too. You tend not to be so careful with money that you get in the blink of an eye, right? You tend not to be so careful about that money. I remember when I was a teenager and I started getting my own wheels, and you know, my mom and dad would give me some gas money. Oh man, I drove all over town. I didn't care where I was going. I'd go over here and I'd go over there. I didn't care, because when I ran out, I'd go back to the well and get more gas money. Well, I think my dad was up to something, because it didn't take too long for him to say, hey, now, Brian, guess what? Now it's your turn to buy your own gas. Well, you know, I started thinking a little bit harder about where I was going. I don't know if I want to go over there, and I don't know if I want to go to the movies with my buddies so much. You know, you tend to be a little more careful with the money that you have to earn little by little. Now, if you believe this, and I hope you do, because it's in God's Word, I hope you believe God's Word. If you believe that it's actually to your advantage that you gain little by little, rather than gaining a whole bunch in a very short amount of time, what difference do you think that would make? Now, what difference would that make in that way you live your life? I have an idea. I'm thinking it might make us a little suspicious to any kind of get-rich-quick scheme, right? You might not be so tempted to make a quick buck. Do you know why? Not only will you grow in wisdom to be able to see, like, there's probably not much here, but that won't even be your goal. Like, you won't have a goal to make a quick buck. Do you know why you won't have a goal? Because you've just learned from God's Word, the money that you get quickly, it vanishes in a heartbeat. I want the money that I have to stick. I want it to last. In Proverbs, God's Word is telling us that the money that we have to earn little by little, that's the kind of money that most likely will stick around and last. That's the kind of money that will increase over time. And here's the beautiful thing about this, right? Every word of God proves true. Okay? I know that this is exactly how some of you got to where you are today. Like, I know that. Like, this is how it's worked for you. You are a living testimony of Proverbs 13, verse 11. Proverbs 20, verse 21. Because you remember, maybe decades ago, when you were young, maybe single, maybe newly married, and you were poor, you didn't have much, and you didn't make much. And so you worked hard, because you didn't really have any other option, and you entertained yourself with maybe a deck of cards and late night with friends. You brown bagged it to work, because you didn't want to spend the money on going out to eat maybe with other people. And slowly, over time, you gained, little by little. And over time, though, that little bank account grew larger and larger. And now, decades later, you look around and you look maybe at your wife and you say, where'd we get all this stuff? Like, how'd we get all this stuff? Where'd we get the money to buy this stuff? And maybe you look at your account and you think, we have more money in there than we ever dreamed we would. Right? You never thought you would have as much as you do. Can I ask, if this is you, can I ask you to do a couple things? Number one, could you thank the Lord Jesus Christ for his grace? Would you thank him for that? Like, how did this happen? Here's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing a lot of you who, when you were young, and maybe, you know, early 20s, just starting out, working hard, didn't have anything, you know, you started gaining, gathering little by little. Not because Proverbs 13:11 told you. You didn't know Proverbs 13:11, but you were practicing it. How in the world do you practice God's word when you don't even know it? I'll tell you how. It's grace. Grace. Somehow God was gracious to you and your wife in such a way where you were practicing this passage when you didn't even know about it. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let an ounce of pride well up in you. Don't let any self-righteousness be found in you. Just thank God for what he has done and how he has supplied all your needs and more. Here's the second thing I want you to do. Will you tell others? Will you tell others how it's worked for you? Will you tell them that God's word is true, that Proverbs 13:11 is true, that it works? Because we need to hear your stories. There are young people out here, they're trying to figure out how they're supposed to do it. And they need you to tell them, hey, just do what Proverbs 13:11 says. You know, work hard and gain just little by little. It'll increase over time. And then if you are a young person, if you are younger, would you ask your brothers and sisters in the Lord who are down the road, would you ask them for advice? Do you think they're just going to come up and tell you their story and advice without you asking? No, they're probably not going to do that. So you got to ask them. Find some brothers and sisters in the Lord that you admire and then ask them how they did it. In fact, I would just encourage you this way. Ask so many questions you're afraid you're going to annoy them. All right? Because there is a treasure trove of wisdom from your brothers and sisters, your big brothers and sisters in the Lord. Okay? You don't gather quickly. Proverbs says gather little by little. Here's the second countercultural message from Proverbs about gaining money. More isn't always better. More is not always better. Better. Everything inside of me wants to say more is better. When I go to the restaurant and I order my meal, I'm thinking more is better. Give me more. Everything in me and everything around me wants to say more is better. It's so obvious we find silly commercials like the one I'm going to show you now. Go ahead and roll that clip.
More is better than less. Okay, why?
More is better than less because if there's more less stuff, then you might want to have some more, and your parents just don't let you because there's only a little bit.
Right.
We want more. Like, you really like it. You right. Want more.
I follow you.
It's not complicated. More is better. And AT&T has the nation's largest 4G network.
It's not complicated, right? That's not complicated. But Proverbs says more isn't always better. Listen to a couple of these verses. Proverbs 28:6. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. Proverbs 30, verse 8 says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Fill me with the food that's needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Okay. These Proverbs are telling us that more is not better when you have to compromise your integrity for it. Don't want more if you need to compromise your character. That second Proverbs, Proverbs 30, says more is dangerous because it tempts you to forget God. I mean, get what that proverb... Read Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9 sometime again on your own. Think about what the proverb writer is doing. He's praying to God. He's asking God that the Lord would not give him more than he needs. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? I'll be honest with you. I haven't really prayed a prayer like that before. Don't give me more, God, than I need. The danger of forgetting God in abundance is so real to this man, he would pray to God not to have more than he needs. And so I want to encourage you, my good brothers and sisters, think biblically. Don't just give yourself to conventional thinking. Like more is always better. It's not always better. Because having more than you need tempts you to forget the Lord your God. More is not always better. So that's what Proverbs says about getting money. What does it say about what to do with it when you get it? Just like we have, just like there are millions of ways to maybe get money, there's also millions of ways to use money. You can spend it and save it. You can give it away, gamble it, hoard it, you name it. But what does the proverb say we should do? There's a great summary statement in Proverbs 3. In fact, I want you to turn there with me. Why don't you turn to Proverbs 3? There's a neat little summary statement in verses 9 and 10 that we're going to study here briefly. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Again, this is one of those passages that I have marked and noted in my Bible. Here's what it says. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. The big idea of what to do with your money is to honor God with the money you have. That's what you should do with the money God has given you. Honor him with it. That word honor here is the word that's typically used in the Old Testament for glory. Glorify God with your money that you get primarily through hard work. Now, what does that mean? Well, to honor God, to glorify God with money means that you make God, you exalt God as great by the use of your money. So how you use your money displays the greatness of God in your life. So when you spend it, you save it, you give it, you invest it, you are saying in the manner you're using that money, God is great. Now, how do you do that? How does my action say with money that God is great? Here's a quick no-brainer, but then we're going to look at what verses 9 and 10 actually say. Here's the quick no-brainer. You honor God, glorify God with money when you do what he says you should do with it. Do you know what I mean when I say that? So when you give it, when you spend it, when you save it, the way God says you should, you are saying God is great. When you obey God's commands, you are saying, my God is so wise, my God is so good, so true, that I'm going to use the money that he's given me in the way that he says I should. You are saying God is great when you do that, especially when you go against the conventional thinking in our world today. Okay, so that's a no-brainer. So anytime you come up with a passage that says this is the way you should use your money, when you obey that, you are glorifying God with money. Now, I want to kind of look, though, at the angle that this passage is taking. So look at verse 9 with me. I think there's a little hint here as to how we glorify God with our money. Look at verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your produce. Now, in this culture, certainly there was monetary exchange, but of course, commodities were huge way of trading and of currency 2,000, 3,000 years ago. Commodities. So not just your wealth, also the first fruits of your produce. Now, what are the first fruits? Well, the first fruits were the best of your possessions. They were the first of your possessions. They weren't the leftovers. They weren't the scraps. Right? It was the first and best of your money and possessions. And so here's what I think this angle is getting at. We honor and glorify God when we use our very first and best money towards his exalting work. When we use our first and our best money the way God tells us we should. Imagine, it's 2018. I hope that's not hard for you to imagine. Hope you're living in the real world, okay? All right? It's 2018, and your income has changed a little bit, and so you're starting your new annual budget. So what goes at the top? Like, what goes at the top of your budget? What's first? When all your money's there, right? When all your money's there, what goes at the top of your budget? What goes first? Well, there's that trip that you've been hoping to take. You've been eyeballing a little bit. You've been thinking about that new car. Not because you really need one, you just like new cars. And maybe there's other equipment that you're hoping to get. What goes first? See, friends, the things that you buy first, the things that go at the top of your budget are the things that you say are the greatest. Right? Because they get you first. They get your best. No one would presume the thing that got your that first in your budget is your least important. No one would say that, right? No one would say the thing that gets the first of my paycheck is the least important in my life. No one says that. It's the best. And so, friends, what goes at the top? What goes at the top when you can honestly say, Lord, here it is, all of it. What would you have me do? Instead of when you have to say when it's at the bottom, God, this is all that's left. Right? God, this is all that's left. Sorry. It's all I have left for your work. Can I tell you how I think we should be doing this as followers of Jesus Christ? This is the way I do it. This is the way I think the scriptures tell us to do it. Here are the things that go at the top of my budget. God has given me callings. He's given me responsibilities. By virtue of my marriage, I have a calling to tend and care for my wife the way that I tend and care for my own well-being. By virtue of me having children, I have a calling to tend and care for their well-being. And so the things that are essential to attend to their needs, they go at the top because I prioritize the callings that God has given in my life. And you know what other calling God has given me? He's given me the calling to invest all of my life into his kingdom work. And so guess what also goes at the top? Kingdom work. The kingdom work of God in my life. And what's the place or what's the means by which God accomplishes his kingdom work in my life? It's primarily through the local church. That's how I participate primarily in the kingdom work of God through my local church. And so my giving to this church goes at the very top of my priority list when I look at my budget. Okay, not vacations, not toys, not other things that would be non-essential. Those are the things that go at the top, and everything else go underneath that. Now, did you notice what our passage said the result of honoring God with money will be? Did you see that in verse 10? Look at verse 10. When you honor God with your money, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. When you honor God with your money, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 say, God gives you more of it. And of course, this follows the principle that we see Jesus himself saying that those who are faithful with little, God entrusts more too. You know, if you spend time reading your Bibles, you'll find reasons why people believe in the prosperity gospel. Prosperity gospel, which I loathe and hate, and I hope you do too. If that's a new term for you, the prosperity gospel teaches that the reward of following Jesus is more money and greater health. And Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 seem to say that, right? Doesn't it seem to say that? If you honor God with your money, he'll give you more of it. So what should we say about this? Well, what people believe in the prosperity gospel, what the mistake that they make is that they don't keep reading their Bible. They read verses like Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, but they need to keep reading, like Proverbs 23, verse 4, which reads this, "Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist." I mean, think that verse over, First Baptist. Don't work, don't strive, don't toil to gain wealth. Don't make that your aim. Be wise enough, my good friends, to resist the temptation to pursuing wealth. Or another verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Do you see? Don't work and want to be rich. Don't make that your goal, your prize. Believe what God's word says about the danger of pursuing wealth. You plunge yourself into ruin and destruction. You don't want to do that, do you? Well, if you want to avoid plunging yourself into ruin and destruction, don't desire to be wealthy. Desire God. It's so subtle, First Baptist. It is so subtle. We need money. It's obviously very important. It's a very important tool in our life and our worship to God. But if you want it, instead of wanting God and his righteousness, you'll perish. Jesus says it plainly, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Friends, money has a way of mastering you, the way that God is supposed to be your master. And you are a slave to what you give yourself to. That's Romans chapter 6, right? That's just straight from the Bible. You are a slave to that which you give yourself to. And if you give yourself to money, you will be a slave to it and you will perish. But if you give yourself to God, you will enjoy the blessings of his mercy. So friends, we're just scratching the surface here this morning of God's wisdom for money. There's so much more that we could talk about. And maybe we didn't touch on the topic that maybe is front and center in your life this morning. I kind of just recommend a couple of things. Number one, read the book of Proverbs. Like, it's there. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, meaning there's 31 days and many months of the year. One chapter a day, 5 minutes a day at the most. You could read the entire book of Proverbs in 1 month, and you'll see all the wisdom. Grab your little pen, put little stars by the verses that are really helpful to you. Here's the second thing. I mentioned it already. Ask for help. Talk to people. Get the wisdom from others. Right? There have been times when I have been talking to different people and they share with me some of the challenges that they're going through. It doesn't even have to be like serious or scary. And it jogs my mind about another couple or person in our church who I'm like, I think they could be really helpful to them. And I'll pair those people up so that they're helped. Friends, there are people, if you're struggling with money right now, when I mean struggling, maybe just questions. You're like, I have kids now and I'm wondering what I should do about savings. If you have questions about money, there are people in this church family. Like, they've been where you're at. They can help you. And they will. I know there's many, many here who would be happy to tell you what they've done. They won't tell you what to do. They'll just tell you what they've done and how it's worked for them. Friends, help is literally an arm's reach away. So just ask for help. You just have to be humble enough to do it. Okay? This is God's wisdom to live by from the book of Proverbs about money.